It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're listening to the Ideas Network. After years of bees dying off by the millions, the most recent U.S. Census of Agriculture indicates that America's domestic honeybee population is at an all-time high. But our next guest says the new numbers don't mean the end of our bee problem. And those honeybees, they're just part of the bee story. An expert on pollinators and bee conservation is here to break down what the new numbers mean for the environment and the limits of domesticated honeybees as pollinators. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Have you done things like plant things in your garden to help wild bees, native bees? Do you keep honeybees in your backyard? Do you have questions about conservation efforts? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Susan Carpenter is the Native Plant Garden Curator and Gardener at the UW-Madison Arboretum. Susan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Great to be here.
Susan, it's taken me a while, but I'm finally wrapping my head around the idea that when we talk about bees, we're talking about two stories that we have to keep both of them in mind. There's the domesticated honey bees that we may be more familiar with. Then there's the wild native bees. How important is it to remember both sides of that story?
Well, it's pretty important because sometimes we just kind of think bees are bees and everybody loves bees and wants to help bees. But if we really don't understand kind of what those two groups are, we'll have a little harder time helping them. So, the honeybees are a domestic animal. And of course, like any domestic animal, if you put more of them in the landscape, there'll be more of them. And that's kind of one of the things that we've heard about recently with the described as kind of a recovery of bee populations. But that doesn't necessarily mean that all the bees are benefiting because the wild bees are in some cases not well known as to what their populations are. We do know, of course, that some of the wild bees are declining, and that is a problem. That's kind of the two sides of the story.
Let's look at the domesticated bee, the honeybee population side of things. First, give us the basics. As I understand, these are not actually native to the U.S. in the first place. Give us the basics on the honeybees.
Right. Well, most of the honeybees that are domesticated here in the U.S. or in the North America are native to Europe, and they were brought over in the 1600s. Mainly for wax, for reasons of their wax production, but of course now they're busy here as an agricultural industry. Really, the honey industry is quite important, especially it is important in Wisconsin, and they are a perennial species, so they live from year to year, and as part of that life cycle, tens of thousands of bees maintained in hives, they create honey. And the function of the honey is really to maintain their populations from the growing season of one year to the growing season of the other year, when they would be able to go out and forage again for nectar and pollen out in the landscape. So they create the honey for the winter, and of course that's where we get honey. We harvest some of that off of their hives, and then they would be living from year to year, but in recent years, there has been a lot of winter kill or die off in the winter of the honeybees. And then also there's some diseases and pests and so forth that can harm them even during the summer. So they would have to be replaced year on year at that point. So that's kind of how the honeybee life cycle works and how the honeybees are important in agriculture. They're also important for pollination. You may have heard of commercial honeybees, where the hives are shipped around in the country. So when the almonds are blooming in California, almost all of the commercial honeybees are in California pollinating that crop. But it only lasts for a few weeks, and so then they have to be shipped in other places, perhaps for apples or other crops that are grown in large fields in kind of a monoculture situation and needing pollination all at that same time in that same place.
You mentioned those die-offs. People talk about hive collapse disorder and things like that. When I saw this new U.S. report and the honeybee population being up, I thought, Well, great. That means that collapse disorder is over. Those die-offs are over. Not necessarily. It may be just that we're importing and starting more colonies of bees to make up the numbers.
It looked in the recent article, it looked as though the losses were still at a pretty high level, but the they were being replaced, as you would say if you had a different animal like chickens. You were growing in an agricultural setting. If you had chickens getting sick, you might replace them with more and more chickens in order to build up your numbers again.
Susan Carpenter is with us. We're talking about bees. Susan is the native plant garden curator and gardener at the UW-Madison Arboretum and an expert on bee conservation. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you pay attention to either of these categories of bees in your life? Do you have bees that you raise to get honey? Do you plant things to help native species of bees? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Susan, let's turn to our native bee species, and that's plural, right? There's a lot of different kinds of bees around North America, a good number of them here in Wisconsin.
Yes, there's about 500 species of native bees in Wisconsin alone, and that includes a lot of diversity. So we have a diversity of sizes of bees, the time of year when they're active, different life cycles. Some are ground nesting, some are cavity nesting, some are solitary bees. So they don't have colonies. They're just reproducing males and females on their own. And others have colonies. So like bumblebees would be a good example of that, where a colony establishes. But it's only a single year colony, an annual colony. So it doesn't go from year to year. Just the queens carry through the winter. They are dormant during the winter underground, and pretty soon they'll be emerging and starting new colonies for this year. So we have a whole variety of species of bees, and that isn't even counting all the other pollinators that are important for pollinating all of our plants. And the native bees are active in pollinating native plants, of course, because they've evolved with them for thousands of years, but they're also effective at pollinating crops. So there are certain crops that are better pollinated by some of our native bees rather than honeybees. So those are the kinds of things to think about. All that diversity of bees kind of corresponds to the diversity of plants. And plants are really going to be the basis of all the food webs and all of nature that we're taking care of and that we are stewards of.
Of those 500 plus species in Wisconsin, are there some that we're worried about that are threatened or even maybe endangered?
Yes. Well, we have just to take bumblebees, for example, because bumblebees is a real familiar bee to everyone. And we have 20 kinds in Wisconsin. So there is one that's federally endangered, and it is the rusty patched bumblebee that there's quite a few of them they're found in Wisconsin. I would say there are quite a few of them, but they're found in Wisconsin, and many, many people, just ordinary people learning about bumblebees, are documenting bumblebees across Wisconsin, and particularly that one. So yes, there are other species that are being considered for endangered or are of concern because of declining populations. And that's just within those 20 species of bumblebees. There are other species which we really don't have any information and much information at all. So those would be ones where their story is kind of hidden right now, and we need people to be watching for them and learning about them. And really anybody can begin to learn about these organisms, especially if you have the kind of habitat you're taking care of, plants, native plants, and other ornamentals or vegetable crops where they'd be drawn to. You can learn a lot about these just by observing, watching, documenting in your own spaces.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Mary is with us in Milwaukee. Mary, hi.
Hi, thank you so much for having this show and letting me ask a question. I have what I believe are minor bees, that come to my yard at one particular corner every year, and I am just absolutely woefully ignorant, and I shouldn't have said every year because some years I don't get them, but I'm just completely ignorant about what to do about bees that come out of the ground and how to take care of them. And am I going to, you know, would I be drowning them if I'm watering my lawn? I mean, just anything basic even that you can explain would be really helpful.
Mary, thanks a lot for the call. And Susan, I believe it's minor, like M-I-N-E-R, like mining in the ground because they live in the ground, right?
Of course. Yeah, that's a whole group of ground nesting bees. And a lot of our, okay, so out of our 500 species of native bees, about 85% of them are solitary bees. And the majority of those are, so we're talking about hundreds of species, are ground nesting bees. And what you'll see, as probably Mary is seeing, are like little, they look like little anthills or little volcanoes on the ground. And that's really where the bee has dug out the soil. So it surrounds a little hole. And the hole is about the size of a pencil. So if you see bees coming and going through those, and we have some areas here that we see those regularly. So I'm thinking it might be the same, might be a similar species to what Mary's seeing. We see them in the spring. So the example I'll give is a ground nesting bee in the spring. And of course it's snows and rains and, you know, there's water falling there. That doesn't seem to bother them. Their life cycle is such that they're coming out, they're emerging from the soil, from developing throughout the past year, and they come out and the males and females mate, and then the females collect pollen and come down into those holes and they lay an egg on a ball of pollen. And then that's it. She continues to do that maybe 30 or 40 times. Some of these bees are only out for a few weeks, like while certain plant is blooming, like the willow, something like that. And then that's it for their life. Then that little egg is eating that pollen and developing into an adult bee throughout the year. And then it emerges next year and the cycle repeats. So basically, I think that if you see that in your yard, it might be a pretty temporary thing and you don't need to worry about it too much. I mean, I wouldn't like go plug up all the holes or anything because that would just make it hard for them to dig back out. But I would have plants that are blooming early. If you can see which plants they're using, it might be good to plant more of them. That would help probably. But they might, you know, they'll fly around the area. So they might not just be using things from your own, you know, immediate spot around the hole. And they're not, during the rest of the year, there doesn't seem to be anything, you know, any problem at all. The holes kind of close up usually, and you don't even notice that anything's going on there. But underneath the ground in those chambers, those little bees are developing for the next year.
Mary, thanks a lot for the call. Hope that helps. Susan Carpenter is with us, native plant garden curator at the UW-Madison Arboretum, talking about bees, a honeybee population increase, and native bees, and what we could do to help them out. You could join in at 800-642-1234. If you're a farmer or gardener, what species do you rely on to pollinate your plants? Do you have questions about pollinator populations? Do you garden with wild bees, so maybe butterflies, other pollinators in mind? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up the conversation with Susan Carpenter, native plant garden curator at the UW-Madison Arboretum and bee conservation expert. We're talking about pollinator populations, including honeybees and native bees, over 500 species of native bees here in Wisconsin. What it all means for the environment? You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a pollinator garden? Have you ever done that no-mow May thing? Are you planning to this year? Do you keep bees in your backyard? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Bill is with us in Milwaukee. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I was wondering, what impact do the honeybees have on the native bee population in Wisconsin?
Oh, interesting question, Bill. Susan, what do we know?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it depends. And what it mainly depends on is how, what area we're looking at. So for example, habitat. Habitat is usually described as the floral resources, so all the flowers that bees can use. And if there's a abundance of flowers, an area that's just full of flowers that are valuable to pollinators, then there might not be very much impact of honeybees of being in with the native bees in that area. But if the habitat is poor and there's not very many flowers, we do know that honeybees can, like a hive of honeybees could displace 30,000 of those small bees that I was describing just a little while ago, the small native bees that are solitary. So because they're using the resource. There's also evidence because honeybees can be affected by mites and other pests, but through the mites can carry honeybee viruses, and some of those viruses can be transmitted to, say, bumblebees or solitary bees, either directly or indirectly through the flowers that they visit. So there are some issues about that, and of course, a lot more that we need to learn and know about, you know, those effects. But I would say, you know, the things that we want to do to promote all bees would be to provide lots and lots of food, basically. So that is flowers that the bees will use. And not every flower is created equal in that regard, but there's many, many resources for finding out which flowers would be the best to grow throughout the season to have blooming all season long so that all those bees at those different times can find food.
Bill, thanks a lot for that call. And Susan, that leads right up to what I wanted to ask next. Are there, you know, flowers, maybe native flowers that are good catch-all things that many people around the state could use to help out those native bees?
Yes. Well, actually, the best thing to think about is we have so many different kinds of bees. We need all different kinds of flowers, too, because some flower structures are really open and any bee can visit in there or any other pollinator. And some flowers have a very specialized structure and only certain pollinators are kind of co-evolved with those. So diversity is the main thing. Have a diversity of flower types, a diversity of flower blooming times, a diversity of, well, of course, we have a diversity of habitats, so we need to match up the plants we're growing with the kind of habitat we have, whether it be open sunny areas or wet areas or whatever the conditions are, we need to match up plants for that. But there's a native plant for every situation. And then we kind of need to have some other factors like nesting spots and like leaf litter and bare soil in places and hollow stems, places for colonies to be established, like maybe old chipmunk holes and things like that. So kind of a natural area of the garden, natural gardens are really helpful for the habitat side for the bees.
Let's go back to our callers. Andy is with us in Fort Atkinson. Andy, hello.
Hi. Now, I've got a 20 by 30 place that I've been covering with black plastic, and I was wanting to plant some native flowers there. Can you give me, some resources that I could, get a hold of to get seeds for the spring?
Sure. If you are planning to go with seed, one thing I'd suggest is go to the DNR website and type in native plants as your search. And there's a whole page there which has lists of nurseries. It has information about the plants. It has information about contractors who are helpful in this area. For a 20 by 30 foot area, you'd probably want to, if you were doing it with plants alone, you would probably want to get about 600 plants to put in there. That sounds like a big job, but it's a lot of fun. With seeds, this time of year, if you're putting down seed, you're going to probably not, there are certain seeds that need to kind of go through winter in order to germinate. A lot of the flowering seeds need to do that. So you might not, if you put the seed down right now, it might not have that amount of time to stratification, to stratify before germination time. But there's some grasses and some of the flowering plants that would be able to. I would suggest getting a seed mix that matches up really well with your conditions there, what your soil type, and you can look into the native plant nurseries and they have specific seed mixes that correspond to different areas, like semi-shaded, dry soils, sunny, dry areas, and so on. So you'll find something that matches up, and you don't have to buy the seeds in that mix, but you can use those lists as a, you could buy them in those mix, but you could also use those lists as kind of a guide for you.
Thanks for that call. And just our last less than a minute now, Susan, how about things like city and highway maintenance departments? Are there things we can be doing on our roadsides to help these bees?
Yeah, well, that's really general to everywhere that's important, and roadsides and railroads are someplace I see this a lot, is we have to protect the bees from pesticides. Frankly, that is one of the biggest risk factors for all of our bees, including honeybees and all the bees. So not using pesticides, and then using native plants. You might not be able to use, as diverse a mix in a roadside situation, but I've seen it done. I've also seen a lot of native grasses used in that situation. And I think if we can think about all the different places that we have stewardship roles, like community gardens and faith centers and so on, all those kinds of places are places where we can introduce more native plants into the environment and have a beneficial effect for bees.
Susan, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Susan Carpenter is the Native Plant Garden Curator and Gardener at the UW-Madison Arboretum, an expert in bee conservation. We're talking about the recovering honeybee population and challenges facing native bee populations here in the state. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.